This is the message given by Pastor James Lim during the evening worship service at Faith Presbyterian Church, Long Beach, California, for January 9th, 2022. The title of the message is, Pay Attention to What You Hear.
Well, if you would now open your Bibles with me. We come to the reading of God's word and the preaching of it. If you would turn with me to Mark chapter 4, verses 21 to 25. I know in our bulletin it says 20 to 25, but I made a mistake, so I apologize. Mark chapter 4, 21 to 25, and I chose this passage again to meditate on the beginning of a new year, to recenter our lives and our faith grounded in the Word of God, that we would resolve, among all the other resolutions we may have made, to resolve to encounter, to commune, and to enjoy fellowship with Jesus found in his word as it speaks to us. And so hear then now the reading of God's word beginning in verse 21. And he said to them, "Is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed and not on a stand? For nothing is hidden except to be manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear." And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you, and still more will be added to you. For to the one who has more, more will be given. And from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." In The Return of the King, there's a scene where Samwise Gamgee is looking for, or he's in the dark caves, the dark tunnels of Shelob, the giant spider that inhabits that gateway into the kingdom of Mordor. And it's pitch dark. It's so dark. And Frodo has at this point already been taken by Shelob, and so Samwise Gamgee is looking for Frodo, and he remembers in the midst of the darkness earlier that he had received the light of Arendelle from Galadriel, and then he actually remembers then to use it. So he holds on to it, and he remembers the words that Galadriel had said to him, or said to Frodo in his hearing. And she said this, "It will shine still brighter when night is about you. May it be a light to you in dark places when all other lights go out. May it be a light for you in dark places when all other lights go out." And when he holds it up in the darkness of the caves, when he can't see anything in front of him, it shines ever the brighter. And that's the kind of paradox of the light and darkness in any given circumstance, that the darker the environment, the brighter the light will shine in that darkness, however small or however bright it may be. And so he shines the light and it drives away the darkness to where he can see everything about him. And it shines so bright that even Shelob has to run away, the giant spider, because it hurts him, because his eyes are so accustomed to the darkness and that the light shines and drives away the darkness. And this is what Jesus' parable is about this evening. There's actually two parables, and you'll be able to see the connection between the two. A parable isn't just a story, but it can include kind of like a comparison. And that's what we're going to see this evening, that God's word is a light of his kingdom that shines the light of his glory and grace into the darkness of this world and in our lives. So how does God's word become a light for us? And what does that mean for us in our Christian lives? First, Jesus tells us that the word of his kingdom is the light of his kingdom. It is the light of salvation, and therefore we ought not to hide it, but to shine it as brightly as we can in the darkness. In order to understand this, we have to remember Jesus' words in the earlier context in verse 13. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? And that's really what we've been going through in our morning series prior to the Advent series, and we concluded this morning, is that they are meant to illustrate, to crystallize the principles and the character and the nature of the gospel and of the kingdom for us to understand. And that's what we're looking at. And so he goes on in verse 13 to explain the parable of the sower, that God's word is a seed that's planted. It grows based upon the soils and all the different kinds of soils under which, where the seed can grow and bloom and bear fruit. And so in this context, what we see is that the seed is the word of God. And Jesus is taking that illustration and shifting for us to look at a different aspect of the word of God, right? So the seed then grows and bears fruit in someone's life and someone's heart. And now he's turning it into illustrating it as light and as a measure by which then we will be measured in our faith and in the kingdom of God. And so Jesus builds on the theme of receiving, what it means to receive the word of God. And he goes on and he says in verse 21 that God's word is a lamp brought in to be put under, is not to be put under a basket or under bed or on a stand. For nothing is hidden except to be manifest, nor is anything secret except to come to light. And so Jesus is taking that the general physics, if you will, the general purpose and intention of light, and using it as an illustration for what God's word is supposed to be like. It's like a lamp. It's like a flashlight, right? Who of us has a flashlight, right, and never uses it when the lights go out, right? Who of us has a flashlight and never puts batteries in it? You know, there's no point in having a flashlight if you're not willing to use it when you need it, right? Or think about it this way. You know, when you look at the satellites down into the from space onto the cities and the more developed countries, there's whole swaths of the world that are in complete pitch blackness because there's no artificial light, right? And then you go to the more developed countries and you go to cities, and it's like it's on fire. I mean, it's just shining bright. I mean, light pollution, right? It's so bright in a particular urban area that it drowns out the stars, the light of the stars that come down. Sometimes you have to go way into the middle of the desert where there's no artificial light in order to see this one star, let alone billions and billions of them. You know, when I was younger, you know, the only stars that I thought were in the sky were like the big ones, right? The moon, the Big Little Dipper, you know, all the major ones that you can see through the light pollution of a city. However, when I went, you know, the first time I went camping in Lake Elsinore when it was less developed, and I looked up the stars and they were so many, I couldn't count. And it brought to memory God's promise to Abraham, like, you know, your descendants will be as numbered as the stars in the sky or the sand on the shore. And so the point here is that God's word is a lamp and a light. And we ought to use it that way. We ought to see it that way. And this this just reminds us of the way in which God refers to light throughout the Bible, right? In the beginning, God said, "Let there be," and the first thing was the separation of what? Light and dark, right? That the light of the world came into existence to illuminate everything. We think about the stars, the moon. We think about the light of the candle of the Holy of Holies, right? And if you read those, if you read the descriptions of the lampstand, the lamp in the Holy of Holies in the temple, it was meant to light the whole area, and so here Jesus is talking about God's word is like a flashlight that illuminates the darkness of sin, the darkness of unbelief, the darkness of ignorance, the darkness of evil, all the kinds of darkness. And it's supposed to, and once the light shines, it illuminates and shows us exactly how the world is, the truth of the world. And I think we take that for granted. We think that the world is what we want it to be, whereas God has made the world as it is, and we ought to recognize that. So we went through Psalm 119, and we talked. We see the imagery then of God continuing that. And he says in Psalm 119, 105, that your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And what that means for you and for me is that there are areas in our lives that we cannot operate unless we have light. You know, the last time I went to family camp, right, to our Faith OPC family camp, and it had been so long since I'd gone camping that I forgot to bring a flashlight. And just to go to the bathroom, right, I was afraid I was going to, you know, get lost. I was going to trip over a log, or a bear is going to come out and eat me, you know. And I remember going, oh, the bathroom's over there. And I'm just like, you know, it's like going into the deep, endless void of the darkness. And I felt so bad, so I asked for a flashlight. And what did I do? I used that flashlight to light the way, all the way to where I needed to be. That's how we ought to use God's word, right? Many of us do not use God's word the way that we ought. We think it's, you know, it's a manual for life. There's principles there, how to do this, how to do that, how to be a better this, how to be a better that. And that's not a bad way to think about it. But even more than that, it just lights up everything so that we can see everything for what it is. Those around us, our circumstances, even ourselves. Sometimes, you know, in the middle of the night when you go to the bathroom and there's a mirror there, if there's no light, you can't see yourself, right? And so that's how God's word ought to function. And maybe thinking about the word of God in the context of discipleship in a local church is learning how to better use your lamp, your flashlight, the flashlight of God's word. And maybe even another way to put it is the nuclear-powered source of light, that it can shine so bright in the darkness of this wilderness world that we live in, that we don't have to be afraid of the darkness. All we need is God's word. Apply it to our circumstances and ourselves, and it will light our way, and we won't be afraid. And then, finally, points us then back to the not just the light of God's word, but the light of the word of God incarnate, right? That the word of God speaks to us and it conveys to us the person and work of Christ, promised in the old, fulfilled in the new, and everything lives and moves and has its being in the context of who Christ is as he shines the light from God's word. See, maybe the right way to put it is, you know, there's a light bulb in a flashlight. There's a fire with oil burning in the old ancient lampstands. And the light is what makes the lampstand illuminate anything. It's the bulb and the power. Jesus is the source of light, the content of light, the substance of light that illuminates everything and is the context for which we see the world. And so then you understand better when Jesus says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of life, the light of men. Right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. That all the biblical themes and imagery of light in the midst of darkness, overcoming darkness, driving away darkness, comes to its fulfillment and fruition in the coming of Jesus, the light of God, the light of the world. And we see the fulfillment then of this wonderful picture of how the light of the world is then cloaked in darkness on that noonday, in the middle of the day, on that Good Friday, on top of Mount Calvary, that the light of the world, in a sense, was extinguished for an eternal moment as he bore our sins, bore the wrath of God. And he was extinguished, if you will. He died in our place, died for our sins. And he did that in order then for that light to shine in the darkness of our hearts, in our lives. And then on the third day when he rose again, it was this revived, renewed light that can never be extinguished. You know, it's funny, I remember in Boy Scouts lighting a fire and it started to rain. And it died, you know. Anything can kind of, you know, extinguish a light. You know, when your batteries run out, right? There's no infinite amount of power or battery, you know, that can light a light forever and ever. Right? Even the sun is going to burn out someday, right? The stars, I mean, some of the lights that we see it still coming, but it burned out ages ago. But Jesus in his resurrected glory will never be extinguished. And we see that centered in on his word. And so let us be students of the word. Let us use the word. Don't get caught in the darkness of this world without having Jesus in your life, in your heart through the word, and let it shine. So that when all other lights are dim or gone, the light of Jesus in his word will shine ever brighter. Let's close there. Let's close there. I wanted it to be a meditation, and I feel like that was a blessing to me and to you. It's funny when you preach, you're like, oh, I'm blessed, because sometimes the Spirit kind of gives me things that come at the moment, and I'm just very thankful, very thankful. And I hope you are blessed this evening. Let's close in prayer. Let's pray together. Let's close this message. Our Father, we thank you for being the light of the world. We thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Help us not to hide it under our beds, under a bushel, but place it on the lampstand of our hearts and of our lives so that everything we see, we would see clearly in relationship to your grace and to your glory. In Jesus Christ, the light of the world, in his name we pray. Amen.